It's a very beautiful pasuk. We discussed yesterday a couple of ideas. I think the main yesod that came out of what we discussed yesterday is the idea that when it comes to money, it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rabbi Michal said, is the producer, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also the one who delivers. He's the one who delivers. He arranges where the money's destination. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts thoughts in the minds of man, both the person how to earn the money and people how to lose the money by sending it to somebody else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is an emphasis of li hakesef, li hazav. We tried to say an idea by explaining that the word li is used in Parshas Teruma. V'yikhu li teruma. And there the word li means li l'shmi. Kavana, intent. So when it says here in the pasuk, li hakesef, li hazahav, it doesn't just mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the owner. There is a thought process. There is an element of machshava, of intent that goes into the money, which we're explaining to mean where the money will be directed. Mark, welcome. We missed you yesterday. Good to see you here on the screen. Okay, the next best thing would be to see you in person in this room as Rav Michal today has come into this room. Let's now go further. We're up to, we didn't yet finish all the psukim of Liyah Kesav, Liyah Zav. Rabbi said it would really great if you pass by the shul, you can come and take a copy of the Mikros Gedolos, of the art scroll. That way that when we do this, everyone could have in front of them a real copy. So, because I know putting on the screen is something which I can't always do, doesn't always work, and even when it does work, I'm sure it's not as good as having it in front of you. Okay, so let's continue with this. I want to finish up the Memori Chazal of Liyah Kesef, Liyah Zahav. Then we're going to go further. Okay, so it's Perek Beis. We're in the middle of Perek Beis. What do we have to over here? I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong sefer, that's why I'm having a hard time finding it. Perek Beis. Pasuk Ches, Liyah Kesef, Liyah Hazav. So yesterday we almost finished the Memori Chazal. And let's start from this No, actually, we did this whole thing already. No, we didn't. I'm sorry. Page 698. Shalu Anche Alexandros. That's where we're up to. Okay, let's start from there. We have a few more Mamari Chazal. Let me see if I can try one more time to get this to work. I rebooted. I'm using an old device to put things on the screen. And because it's old, it's very weak. It doesn't really have the power to adequately...
Are you loud enough to be heard clearly over there?
I think so. Can you hear me? Mark, can you hear me well?
Over here, it's soft.
Yes, I hear you.
Everything is fine.
Okay, good, good.
Well.
Okay, so, okay, it's working. I'm able to get it to work today. It's working. It seems like it's working. I rebooted it. Okay, join now. I want to put it on the screen. There's a lot of words here. A lot of words will be kedai that we can read it together on the screen.
What's the first word on the line?
Sha'alu on page 698. Sha'alu, I'll just start right away. Sha'alu Anche Alexandria es Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanina. Mayase Adam the Yis Asher. What should a person do to become rich? Amar Lachem. So he told them, Yare Beschere. He told them what he should do is, you see, the machine is actually not working. I can't get it to work. So he told them, Yare Beschere v'yisa v'yare Beschere v'yisa v'yitin b'emuna. What a person should do to become wealthy is he should go into business. You go into business. Yarbe b'schayra. You should go into business now. It suddenly decided it wants to work. So I'm going to put it on the screen. Here we go. Going in circles here with you. All right, it's now on the screen. What should a person want to do that he should become wealthy? Hope you can see it. What should a person, the top line is the first line. The first line, what should a person do that he will become wealthy? There's an echo. One second. All right, let's hope it works now. He should go into business, the Yisa Vitin Demuna. Okay, and he should be honest. Amru Loy. So they said to him, Harbi also can avoid her evil. There are many people that tried to be honest in the business, they were not successful. There are many good, honest, hard working people in this world that are not successful. So what do you mean over here that a person should go into business and will be successful? It's not true. People, many good people out there, they're very poor. They struggle. They need help. The answer is, you know what you should do? You have to be honest. You have to go, you have to do hishtadlos, go out and work. Number two, you have to be honest. Number three, that's not enough. You have to be mispalel. V'yivak ishenemar, li ha-kesev li ha-zahav. Maiko mashmulon, what's the chiddush? Deha bilo ha loisagi. Three things. Yisa, yarbe bischoira, expand your business. Number two, you have to be honest. Number three, you have to be misfalo. We learn from the words liha kesev, liha zahav, tefila. That's in all three together. Chut ha-mishulosh, loy b'mehera yinotek. That concludes the Gemara. Next Maimon Chazal. Keep continuing. Amru banav shel hurkanois lavihem lech v'nade es Eliezer mini chosecha. They told Hyrcanus, the Banav Shel Hyrcanus, that you should remove Eliezer from your minichasecha, remove him from the will, that he should not be a Yoresh. Because now this goes during the time when there was a civil war. Okay, I believe there was a civil war going on. I'm not exactly sure of all the details of the story, but there was some type of big machlekes, and some of the brothers, they wanted that one of the brothers should not be a Yoresh in the assets of their father when he died, because he was not...
Rabbi Eliezer ben
Hyrcanus.
Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Is the author of Kirke Rabbi Eliezer.
He was learning. He wasn't... The other brothers were working.
And
he
was a Talmud Chacham.
He was sponging off the family money because he sat and learned.
Okay, so he wasn't participating in the business. Okay, even though it's ridiculous, hold on, but anyway, putting over here just to be honest. So he wasn't participating in the business. Therefore, fine. So what happened? Allali Yerushalayim l'nadoisai minachasav. So he listened. Hyrcanus listened to his children. He went up to l'nadoisai to dismiss him from his assets. Motzasham yom tov Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was celebrating. What was he celebrating? It's not clear. Whatever. There was some type of festival. Maybe it was a private Yom Tov. Maybe it was a festival. Whatever it was. V'chol gedolei ha-medina misud netzlan. All of the gedolei were sitting by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shim, who were they? Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon, ben Esanel. Holchu v'yamru Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Hari aviv shol Rabbi Eliezer. Bo, Hyrcanus has arrived. Amar lohem. Asu loy makam. Make a place for him. The Asuloi Makam, they made a place for Hyrcanus. The Hoshivuhu Etzloi Benehen, and Hyrcanus was sitting amongst the Talmidei Chachamim. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Eliezer, and Mor Lanu Dover Echam Midivrei Torah. So he now gave honor to Eliezer. Eliezer was the son of Hyrcanus, whom Hyrcanus was about to dismiss, to remove from his will. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to Eliezer, say over words of Torah. Tell us a Dvar Torah. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon ben Esanel. Okay, there's an echo. I wonder if it's, I'm the cause of this echo. Let me put everyone on mute.
It's me. I'm off.
Oh, you're on? Okay.
I'm off.
Okay, so he said to him, say a devar Torah. In other words, he wanted to give him honor. Emor lanu davar echa b'divrei Torah. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel holchu v'amru Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai bo re'ei Rabbi Eliezer yoshev v'dorish devarim yeser mimash shenemar l'moshe b'sinai. He's saying devarim yeser. What do you mean devarim yeser? It means beautiful words from what was said to Moshe b'sinai. Upanav mi'irois ke'or hachama. His face is shining like the light of the sun. V'karnoisav yoitzais ke'karnoisav shel Moshe. And his horns are protruding like the horns of Moshe. Really? Does a Jew have horns? What does this mean over here? The Karnoisav, either it's a figurative expression, it means or, it means whatever, Koran or Panam Shel Moshe. Whatever that means.
It means light radiated.
Rays. So, but it says first, Panav Mi'irois. So there are two different, it seems over here there are two different concepts of light. There's Mi'irois, Panav Mi'irois, and there's a second element of light called Karnoisav. Ve'ein Adam Yodea im Yoim Hu v'im Laila. And we do not even know, the light is so strong, we do not know if it's day or night. Ba Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai me'acharav v'noshkoi al roishoi. I guess in those days there was no corona. Physical contact, he kissed him. He kissed him al roishoi. V'omar, and he said, Ashreichem Avraham Yitzchak v'Yakov sh'yotza zemechalotzeichem. Fortunate are you, the others, that you have such a descendant like Rabbi Eliezer that says such beautiful words of Torah, and he's such a holy person that his face radiates and he produces or. Omar lohem aviv shel Rabbi Eliezer. Horkinus said, "Lemiatem oimim kach." Who are you referring to? Who are you referring to? You're giving such honor. Amru lo lebincha Eliezer. Omar lohem uchihoyet tzarich loimar. Ashreichem, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shiyotza, Zenichalotzechem. Lohoyotzach, Loimer, Ela, Ashrei, Ani, Shiyotza, Mechalotzai. Why do you have to go and say, fortunate are the others that he has such a descendant? Say, fortunate, I'm the father. What about me? I'm his father. I'm sitting right here. Why don't you give me praise? Hoya, Rabbi Eliezer, Yoyoshev, Dorish, Yoav, Oymin, Al Raglov. And his father was standing al raglav, meaning his father was standing right there. Omar loy, Abba, Eine yochol liyos yoshe v'doresh v'loy me divrei Torah v'ato oymed al raglach. I can't do that. It's not derech eretz for me to sit and for my father to stand and serve me. It sounds like his father was the waiter. Omad v'yoshivoy etzloy. So he took his father, he had his father sit down next to him. Amalai bini, loy bossi l'shvach hazeh, v'loy bossi ele l'nadoyscha minichosai. What is going on over here? I came here to Yerushalayim because my lawyer lives in Yerushalayim. I came here to Yerushalayim to speak to my lawyer to remove you from the will. And here, and I'm coming to Yerushalayim, look what's happening. You're giving me the ultimate honor. I'm sitting in your presence, your face is shining, all of the Talmidei Chacham, they're listening to every word you say. This is bizarre. I came here to remove you from my will, and the tables have been turned. I'm over here giving the greatest honor for you. The Achshav, Shabosi, V'Reisi, V'Samachti, B'Salmu, Teresecha, Harei Achecha, so I'm going to do just the opposite. Your brothers who have persuaded me to go and speak to the lawyer and to remove you from the will, I'm going to go to the lawyer this afternoon. But instead of removing you from the will, I'm going to remove them from the will. And you're going to be the only Yoresh. Veheim at achecha minudim mehem. Veheim nusunim lecha b'matana. And they will be given over to you. In other words, you're going to be their master and they're going to be your slaves. I'm making now a new arrangement. Omar loy. So the son said, Eliezer said to his father, Mutzul ani ad shani shavel l'chol echad bohem. No, don't do that. I don't want you to do that. I just want to be an equal. Don't go make me better than them. Don't go and remove them from the will and make them my slaves. let's all be equal. That's the best thing. Amar loy, ilu bog bikash milufne hamokim kese vizahav hoyul litainli shenemar. So he said to him, if I would have made a request before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, money, Hayoloi liten li, Hashem should give it to me, shenemar li akesev li azof. Ilu bikashli mimenu karko ois hayu noisin li, shenemar, la Hashem aretz umuloya, loi bikashli mimenu elo she eske li toira, shenemar, al kein kol pikude, kol yishorti, kol orach sheker sonesi. So what he's told his father is, let me explain to you the reason why it appears that he's just coming to explain to him the reason why until now I was not involved in the business. It's not because I'm trying to make trouble. It's because this is my mission in life. This is I only want Torah. As the Pasuk says, Al kein kol pikudei chol yisharti, all of Hashem's ordinances, all of his laws is yashar, kol orach sheker, always of falsehood, sonesi. So it seems like he was just explaining to his father, it was a misunderstanding. There was a misunderstanding that it's not because I was trying to be a bad son, I did not involve myself in your business. Because the truth is, if I wanted money, all you have to do is be mispalel to Hashem. The reason why I was not involved in your business was because I was involved in Hashem's Torah, which is a valid excuse. And now that you see that I am sincere, I'm not trying to take advantage. I don't want you to just don't deny me what I'm entitled to. Now, what is very interesting over here is that at the end of the day, Eliezer did tell his father, I do want a chelek in the Yerusha. He didn't say to his father, you know, gesunte hate. You want to cut me out? Cut me out. I don't care. In fact, he goes on to say that if I want money, I have access. I have a unique relationship with Hashem that all I need to do is be mispalel and Hashem will give me money. Lia kesef, li hazaf. So, questions: what exactly is going on over here? What there's a lot more in this story that meets the eye, and I don't know the pshat. But one very small basic principle you learn from this story is be normal. Even when a person is very holy and very successful, at the end of the day he said to his father, just give me what I'm entitled to. And don't use me, don't take away from my brothers what they are entitled to. Even with all of my holiness, and even after witnessing the beauty of Torah, witnessing that my face radiates, and all the Talmidei Chacham are sitting around me listening to me, at the end, I also still want a chelik of the Yerusha. I also want an equal amount. I'm not going to be like a Rashbi, go into a cave, and rely upon miracles that Hashem will cause the Karib to come. He's still being Haneg Bohen Minog Derech Eretz.
To say it in a different way, he had become estranged from his father, and now his father has come to respect him, and in this way he maintains the connection with his father.
With his father by getting a chelik of the Yerusha. You know, this reminds me of one of the last things my father was involved with. I remember right before my father passed away, there was a woman, a family my family was very close with, and this woman, she grew up in abject poverty. I mean, the abject poverty had such an effect on her that her entire life she always kept. It was almost sakonis nefashos, not to do this, to have in the freezer a loaf of bread. She kept in the freezer a big loaf of bread frozen, 24/7. Pesach, I don't know what she did Pesach, maybe, I don't know, but and it was because she grew up in a state of poverty, literally not having what to eat. she always had to have security that there's food. And the security was, if in the freezer there was a loaf of bread, she felt safe. Okay, fine. Baruch Hashem, she had a number of children. She died, she was almost 100 years old when she died. Before she died, now her husband had some money. She had obviously when she passed away, there was a Yerusha to be distributed amongst the children from her husband. It wasn't a lot of money, but whatever it was, there was money, whatever it was. And one of her children is phenomenally wealthy, is known to be a very, very big gavir. And another child is mamish an onive evion, is a sick person, he's not all well, and he literally doesn't have what to eat. And obviously the family helped him out all the years. You know, he never got married, he's not a well person, and the family helped him out. And I remember her having a conversation with my father. She was writing her will. She must have been already then in her 90s. I don't know what it was. She already passed away. And she basically wanted to give a much larger percentage of her assets to the child that's sick. The child that you know, he was an adult. He's probably in his 50s. Who knows? To give him the money. Because this child that's a super duper over the top million. What does he need the money for? He's a very big gavir. And I met my father. I overheard the conversation. My father told her, "Don't do that." My father, is that mine? My father told her, "Don't do that." My father told her, "Give everyone equal. Just because one of your children is a gavir, is very wealthy, and the other one is very poor, give everyone an equal Yerusha. That's the right thing to do. Even though, because just, that's just how you should do, that's the proper way." And she listened to my father, and then she subsequently died, and I can't tell you the details, I don't remember, but I do remember is that it solved a lot of problems. That when she died, all of the children got an equal chelik of the Yerusha. It wasn't like a lot of money, big money. But had she gone through with the plan and given a much more significant amount to the child that was poor at the expense of the child that's a millionaire, it would have created in the family a bad feeling. And you would say, why? One of the brothers, he doesn't need the money. He's such a rich person. That's not the point. The point is not always the money. Sometimes in a Yerusha, the money, the amount of money that's distributed, is it equal? Is it going to be distributed? You know, this living will, it creates a bad feeling, a favoritism. Why did my parents their whole life favor you and not me? They have a favorite child, you have this, you have that. It's not so much the money, who needs the money. It's a question of attitude. You're all my children, you're all equal in my eyes, and therefore everyone gets the same amount. It's not irrelevant to me that one of my children, he has his name on many buildings and he sponsored half the things in the world. That's irrelevant. From my perspective, you're all my children, you're all equal. This Gemara has triggered that memory. Because in this Gemara here, we have over here something very, very similar. We have over here Horkinus. I don't know all the details of the story, but obviously there was some type of bad feeling in the family. That one of the brothers was different, and he should not receive anything. And then when there was reconciliation, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai showed in a very clever way to Hyrcanus the greatness, the exaltedness of Eliezer, and Hyrcanus understood, he fully got it, that his Olam Haba is going to come from Eliezer, not from the other children. Still, the advice was, everyone in your eyes is equal. Eliezer was very clever. He didn't say to his father, "Father, you know what? Go, I don't need the money. Because if I want money, all I need to do is be mispalel. Li ha-kesef v'li ha-zov. Basically, I'm a mega millionaire. I won the Powerball. I have direct access to Hashem through my Torah. I can just, in one moment, be mechaven. I need money. There it comes. The money will gush in. I don't care. I still want you to give me a chelik in the Yerusha equal to my brother. Why? It's not the money. The lesson for the is that we're all your children. I'm your child, and my brothers, they're your children as well. And a parent, it is their duty to treat each one of their children equally. The attitude of a father has to be, all of my children are my children, they're all the same. And one of the ways that manifests itself is in the Yerusha. They all get an equal chelek. Once you start going and giving one child more than another, even though you have all the reason in the world to do so, because this one needs it, this one is not well and he's sick and he's that, that's not the way the children understand it. That's not the way they interpret it. The one who's the mega millionaire, he doesn't look at it like that. And the one that's sick doesn't look at it like that. That's not the way they understand it. It's not the money, it's the attitude. A healthy relationship between a father and his children, we're all equal. And I think that's a very powerful point that comes out of this incredible story. Again, it's a very powerful story. He said, because how else do you answer this question? He says to his father, "Father, you think the reason why I didn't go into the family business was because I don't care for the money? If I want money, I have money. I have a special connections to my ruchni. It's li ha kesef li ha zahav. It's because to me, what's more valuable is Torah. Yet, I still want you in the will. We should all be equal. Not because I need the money." It's because that's a healthy relationship between a father and a child, brothers amongst themselves. In order for us to maintain our relationship going forward, we all have to be equal. Look what happened with Yaakov and Yosef. He favored him. He gave him the Kesoynes Pasim, and look what that brought us today. Okay, this Gemara is unbelievable. This Gemara really is off the charts Gemara. I think that story with my father is a very good story to bring out this point. All right, now let's go to the next Maimon Chazal. The next Maimon Chazal is Ashira LaHashem Ki Go'oy Go'ah. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom, if you can see it on this screen. Ashira LaHashem Ki Go'oy Go'ah. This comes from the Shira. And what does it say? I'm just curious. If I make this bigger, what happens? Let's see if I can make this bigger. Can I make this bigger? No, I can't make it bigger. Then you lose it. You lose it if I make it bigger. All right. Ashiru l'Hashem ki go'oy go'ah. Mashal l'mah ha'davadam l'melech. Basav adam sh'nichnas l'medidah v'chayu ka'akol mekalsin l'fanav. Everyone was praising the king.
Let's read one more time. The person comes into the city and they start saying that he's the greatest person in the world, and the truth is he's nothing. The second half of each expression means the truth is he's not.
One more time
with the words. L'mashal, a king comes, v'hakol mekalsin l'fanav shu gibar, and they all say this person is a mighty soldier. But the truth is, he's a cholash. He's a weakling. They praise him, shehu oshir. But the truth is, he's a pauper. Vehu ani. They praise him, shehu chacham. But the truth is, vehu tipish. They praise him, shehu rachmani. Vehu achzari. He's a cruel person. That's the truth. They praise him, shehu dayon. Shehu neman. But the truth is, the ein boy achas mikol amidus halalu. Ela kol machanifim loy. Everyone is machanif. Everyone, it flatters him. Avol mi sha'amar v'hoi ha'olam. But when it comes to the Ribbono shel Olam, when we praise him, every praise that we say about Hashem is emes. Enekein, ela kol mash mekalsim oisa yoiser hu mikilusoi. He's even greater than the praise. Ashu la Hashem, I sing to Hashem shehu oshir. When we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's an oshir, it's emes. Shenemar, hein la Hashem elokecho hashamayim. Hashem is the owner. And again, this pasuk v'omer liah kesev liah hazav. So this pasuk again comes into play. So we have over here many. This concludes the list. Ma'amar Chazal, at least on the side over here in this page, we have many Ma'amar Chazal that describe over here this expression liah kesev v'liah hazav. Now, in the second to last, by the way, in the second to last, in the last few Ma'amar Chazal, the words liah kesev, liah zav was used in reference to tefillah. It was saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed possesses, owns all of the wealth, but he's very willing to give it away to a person that is mispalel. And in this last expression, this last Ma'amar Chazal, when we say liah kesev, liah zav, it connotes that even more than what we think is true. When we in our minds imagine, acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all wealth, the truth is Hashem has even more than we imagine. In our limited minds, we think that there's a limit to how much money Hashem has. There's a dollar amount. You have to make an assessment, you bring in the best minds, best actuaries, and calculate the assets of this world. How much, if you were to add up all the gold, all the silver, all the precious materials, every commodity in this world, and put upon it a dollar amount, how much wealth is there in the entire world? Put upon it a dollar amount. Certainly, the Pentagon, they've done this. The people of the Pentagon, that's what they do most of the day. They just do numbers on value. Everything is money. Right now, they're having a very big meeting. You read in the news, there's a very big meeting taking place today about inflation, about the one of Bush's big people. They're going to promote the idea that there should be inflation.
What?
There should be inflation. They're going to stimulate the economy in such a way which, to the average mind, seems suicidal. It's a very, but the understanding of the Chacham is if they don't stimulate inflation at this point, then the economy will tank because of what's going on. It's a very complex economic. You need some big heads and PhDs in economics to understand what they're promoting. You follow the news, it's a very controversial idea, which the Chachamim seem to be very confident that if we don't do this now, there's going to be a big tzaris later on down the road, whatever this means. But there are people out there that spend the whole day trying to figure out exactly how much money other people have. It's very common. Someone they see that you have a car. Oh, you have a car. Oh, what else do you have? Oh, you own a house. Oh, and you rent out this. And they right away start counting your money. It's very kind. People do that. They love to count other people's money. So you say to them, after you finish counting my money, do me a toiva.
And then spend other people's money.
Leave over some for me. After you finish counting, make sure you know I need also to live. So leave over some money for me when you finish counting all of my money. But It's human nature to count other people's money, to look at other people, see what they got, and start making calculations. How much does he make? What kind of job he has? This, that, his wife, v'chulu, v'chulu. They put a dollar figure on you, and then they start doing things to you based upon how much money in their mind they think that you have. So the same way people do that about other men, they do that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can start calculating how much money HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. In the last Maamar Chazal, the Pasuk says, no matter what dollar amount you put on Hashem's assets, guess what? Hashem has a secret Swiss bank account that you don't know about. And he has a lot more. That's really what it says. Liyah Kesef, Ashur Hashem ki go'oy go'yoh. Hashem is a lot greater than you can ever possibly fathom. When it comes to human beings, whatever you say about them is an exaggeration. They have a lot less than any praise you give a human being. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever praise you say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, guess what? He has a lot more. And how do you know when it comes to money? Hashem has a lot more money than you can ever fathom. Li HaKesef V'Li HaZav. Here the word Li connotes more than you can imagine. So if you were to go through all of the Maamarei Chazal over here, in this page, each Maamar Chazal introduces another element of what it means money from the perspective of Hashem. Each Maamar Chazal presents a new spin on a value on money. Either it means Hashem is the director. We spent a lot of time on that yesterday. Li is Lishmi Kavana. Hashem is the director. He directs where the money goes by planting thoughts in a person's mind. Li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we just learned now, Hashem is a lot more than you can even imagine. Li means that through the Koich of Tefillah, Hashem is waiting. He's sitting by his booth, waiting, eager, yearning to give it away. Who wants free money? Whoever wants free money, come take it. All you have to do is be mispalel. Liyah kesev liyah zav. What other Maamar Chazal do we have? Liyah kesev liyah zav. Okay, that was, I think those three.
If you have to daven, is it really free?
No, it's not really free. You're earning it. You're earning it. But I mean, over here, I mean, is that through the koich of tefillah?
That's a way of earning.
You have to look at the Maamarei Chazal. That's really the purpose of here, the Maamarei Chazal. When you look at each Maamar Chazal, when the Maamar Chazal is over, you have to sit back and say to yourself, how did they understand this pasuk? They are taking out of this pasuk an insight, an approach that is not self-understood. And from each Chazal, you gain a new insight into money. I mean, money is everything, right? Cash is king. That's the way the world operates on money. I mean, it's just so obvious. It's so obvious. And you have a pasuk like this, Liyah Kesef Liyah Zav, you can't underestimate the depth that is found here in this pasuk that is so essential. Now, in honor of Rav Mechol, who has come here today.
It's interesting here. Yeah. That Chazal focus on this pasuk and not like Hashem la'aretz u'lo'ah.
Well, we do. Some of Maamar Chazal mentioned both.
Hashem is everything. But in order to talk to people, la'Hashem la'aretz u'lo'ah doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean too much. But when you talk about specific kesef, zahav, people understand.
Okay.
And that's why Chazal focus on this pasuk and not psukim acherim that are general.
Okay, it's true. It's a good point. That's definitely true. But in many of the Maamarei Chazal, we do also mention the other pesukim. Many of the Maamarei Chazal, they quote sometimes two or three pesukim, not just one pasuk. So you have to look at each case differently. Like, all right, now we have over here.
Chazal wants to compare to the Torah. Im techapsena, yes, kimatmonim, and this again, money. Because people understand money. They don't understand.
Money, understand, that's for sure. When you talk money.
The divine, everything. It's the same thing.
Now, today we are zoiche to have here Ramchal Miller. He's in the room. Ramchal has entered the ulam. He's present. So in his honor, we're going to learn Maral. We have here on the page of Maral. That's probably why he came, right, Ramchal? You came over here with the Maral. Okay.
If I had known that, I would have brought my own text.
Our resident expert in Maral is present. Leah Kasev, Leah Zav, let's see what he says over here. Num Hashem Tzivokos. Maral is all about abstractions. Okay, not everyone is a Maral person. Right, Rachel?
True.
Maral is not for everyone. I have to confess, I am not a Maral person. I learned Chaim Berlin, that very heavily steeped in Maral. And I never got it. I never really, that part of the yeshiva never spoke to me. But there are people that this really, it's their bread and butter. And Rabbi Michal Miller is zeichet to be from that group of elite individuals to whom the Maral speaks directly to. And let's see his words. Rabbi Maral is always generally abstractions. He has a knack at that. Liyah kesev liyah lazav nu mashem tzivokos v'zeh sh'omar b'kan chamisha kinyanim heim liyah kodesh baruch hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in this world five possessions. V'ratzalaymar, let's go for this in the Avos, let's see. V'ratzalaymar, ki lo yikare stam kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad shunikne elav legamri mibli yitzia v'hasada mi'itay klal. In order for something, it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns five things. Maybe I should take a sitter and get and go through the five things. One second, get a mishnayis. One second. All right, let's. In order to appreciate this maral, let's look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perigvav, Pasik Yud. Perigvav, Pasik Yud. Perek Vav Mishnah Yud. So last, it's almost the very end of Perek Yavis. Chamisha Kinyanim Konak. I'm reading from the Mishnais. Chamisha Kinyanim Konak Kadosh Baruch Hu Bi'olam Ve'elohim Torah Kinyan Echad Shamayim Ba'aretz Kinyan Echad. Avraham is a Kinyan Echad. Yisrael is a Kinyan Echad. And the Beis Hamikdash is a Kinyan Echad. And then the Psukim go on, then the Mishnayis goes on to prove that these are the five things which are the possession of Hashem. Torah Minayin, Dirsiv, Hashem, Konani, Reishis Darkoi. Hashem has acquired me as the beginning of his way. Kedem Mif'olav Me'oz. It was his first deed. Even before his me'oz, from back then, from time immemorial, from before the world was created, kedem mifalov, it was Hashem's creation. Okay, shamayim v'aretz minan. How do you know that the shamayim and the aretz are Hashem's possession? D'chsev ko yomar Hashem hashmayim kisi. The heaven is my throne. V'aretz adam ragloi. Eze vayis hashativnuli. V'eze makom menuchasi. So therefore, what can you make for me? I possess the entire world. If I possess the entire world by you being a Beis HaMikdash, don't think you're doing anything special by making a Beis HaMikdash, because anyway, I possess, I own the Shamayim and the Aretz. The Oimer, another pasuk that supports this idea that Hashem owns the Shamayim Aretz. Morabu Masech Hashem Kulo Michoch Masisa Malo'o Ha'aretz Kin Yonecho, which we're translating now to mean that the earth itself is Hashem's kinyan. Avraham inayin. How do we know that Avraham is Hashem's kinyan? Dechsev, it says, Vayevarechayu vayoyma baruch Avram lekel elyoin koinei shamayim baretz. So this is a drasha. This is not the Pshutah Shel Mikra, but the drasha here is that we connect the word konei to Avram, that Avram, Hashem has acquired Avram. This is more of a drasha, which needs explanation. Which
he acknowledges his koneh.
Okay, it needs explanation what this means exactly, because it's not the pshut shel mikra. Yisrael minayin d'chsev ad yavar amcha, Hashem ad yavar amzu konisa. V'oimer l'kidosh v'shev aretz heima v'adirei kol chef sibam, Hashem, my desire is in them. Which means Hashem possesses them, that's another, also requires explanation. Beis hamigdash minayin d'chsev mochon l'shivtecha, a dwelling, a dwelling for your l'shivtecha, for your living, for your dwelling. It's a double expression, really. A building for your dwelling. Po'al to Hashem, mikdash Hashem koinenu yodecha. Your own hands have established it. So we're saying of a koinu with a chaf. Now with a kuf, it's the same idea. It's the same idea that it means you've established. This mountain your hand has acquired. Your right hand has acquired. Okay. So we see over here in this Mishnah, there are five things that are the possession of Hashem. Along comes the Maral, and the Maral says, what is the definition of a kinyan? Mm-hmm. What does it mean exactly? Zeh shamar, I'm reading now the Maral on the screen. Zeh shamar bekan, chamisha kinyanim heim l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'rotzu lo imaki lo yikari stam kinyan l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, ad shehu nikne elav l'gamri. It's completely in his possession. What does that mean? Mibli yitziyah v'hasar mitre klal. It does not leave or enter. In order for something to be called your possession, it means it doesn't check out. And nothing checks out. It's always under your ownership. Mm-hmm. If it's something is not always under your authority, your ownership, your domain, I don't know the right word, then that cannot be called a kinyan. Now, what does it mean exactly in this context? Midklal, raku legamri birushusai. V'loy timsa rak chamisha. Now, this type of stuff that he's saying now, if it wasn't the Maral, you would right away start wondering, you know, you get into some apikorsis here. That's why you need a Maral to say something like this. So, the Maral says, because right away you can say, what are you talking about? Everything in this world is Hashem. How could you say there's even a Hava Amina, that there's something in this world that can leave the domain of Hashem? Only five things? What does it mean? What is Maral over here saying? You get into a lot of trouble. Anyone that would talk like this today would be banned. But Maral says, V'loy tim sarach chamisha shekol echad v'yechad miyuchu legami bin yonai. Aval shor dvarim enim ru'im sheyikru kinyon shekol eshbaruchu. Other things are not the same. V'zeh, ki av shekol hadvarim heim el hakol eshbaruchu, like I just asked. Everything really is Hashem's possession. That's a given. Shenemar, shekmo shekasov, asher lo hayom b'chu asahu, vayabeshes yodov yotzaru. Okay, the yam, it doesn't say that the yam is the kinyona shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mishnah. It says only the shamayim and the aretz. What about the yam? Doesn't say that. Does that mean the yam is not Hashem's possession, and Hashem's possession? But it says explicitly in the pasuk that the yam is in Hashem's possession. Asher lo hayam v'hu asahu v'yabeshes yadav yatzaru v'yemkim hayam v'hayabasha shem elchol shvaruchu v'chein ksif. Okay, now we come to why we're studying this chazal. What about money? Money. It says in the Mishnah there are only five things that Hashem owns. What about kesef? Does it not say in the pasuk here in Chagai, Li ha-kesef, the li ha-zahav. You're going to deny that? V'chein ksiv li-kesef li-azav, num Hashem, ki heim shneim shal kadosh baruch hu, mikol mokom. Nevertheless, here comes the chiddush. Ein al echod stam kinyin k'mo shekasavti, l'fit sheyesh kan shnei devodim. Hayom v'hayabosha v'ha-kesef v'ha-zahav. V'ein echod bulvad miyuchod el kadosh baruch hu. They're not miyuchod. V'chasher heim shnei dvarim v'ein echad shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein al echad shem kinyan shulagamri el Hashem yisparach. Now what does he mean by this? He says some very abstract words, kedarkoi, and at least here he's coming to explain. Ki hayam v'hayabasha, okay, talk about abstractions, here we go. Shnei dvarim, uv'ma she zeh el Hashem, Yisparach, Ein Zeh El Hashem Yisparach. The Evsher Shia Kol Echad Kinyan Shel Hashem Yisparach, She Legamri Elov, Atche Ein Yoitz and Ibal Kinyan Klal Kasher Yesh Echad Imoy. The Evsher Loy Mashi Shneim Biyachad Kinyan Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ki Shnei Devarim Heim. The Einam Dover Echad, She Yeomer Aleihem Kach. Ulefichach ein al echad mehem shem kinyan stam. If you know what that means, then you're really a very, very holy person. I don't know what this. I'm not going to make believe. I don't know what this means over here. The yam liah kesef liah zav are two things. This kesef and zahav, and they're mutually exclusive. This is why I've always had a hard time with morale. Because he says a lot of these type of things which require very deep understanding. Let's try one more time to get at least a little bit of a grasp. The Yam and the Yabasha are Shnei Devarim. Uma shezeh el Hashem Yisbarach, ein zeh el Hashem Yisbarach. What does that mean? The Yam and the Yabasha, I don't even know. I really have no clue what this means. And what about Kesef Vizahov? Kesef Vizahov, he's calling two things. There's silver and there's gold. Does he mean to say, I think what he means to say is like, these are things which counterbalance one another. In the world, in economics, okay, I don't know economics at all. I don't know, I'm not even sure I took even one course in economics in college. My father had a PhD in economics. And I didn't even take even one course. Did I take, was there a core in economics? I don't think so. Brooklyn College had core curriculum. I don't think they had a core in economics. So I don't know anything about economics. To me, it's all Greek. But it appears that in the world of economics, there are different types of commodities which counterbalance one another. When the price of one asset goes up, that automatically means that there's another type of asset which is related, its peer, that has to go down. That's appears to be a certain principle. I don't know more than that in economics. It appears, what the morale is seeming to say is that the yam and the Abosha, each one needs the other. Each one counterbalances the other. The Yam is only the Yam because there's a Yabosha. And the Yabosha only retains its name Yabosha because in contrast, there's the Yam. Each one...
Because if the sea overwhelms the dry land, then there's less dry land. If the sea recedes, then there's more dry land.
Because you're saying so, it's a matter of it expanding, so, and receding.
Yeah, so there's an interdependence.
There's some type of interdependency. But even just, what is the advantage of something called the Yabasha? The advantage of it being called the Yabasha is that it's not the Yam. The miles that the Yam have do not exist by the Yabasha. The Yam allows mobility. The Yabasha, you don't have mobility on the Yabasha. Yabasha, you're stuck. You go on the Yam allows, okay, each one has its unique miles, and because it has chesroinus, the other item, it's defined by its advantage. It seems that when it comes to money, okay, kesev v'zahav, this is just an example. I don't know if this is true in economics. Is there a correlation today in the world between gold and silver? That when gold shoots up to the sky, silver goes down in value? Is there such a thing? I don't think so. I'm not aware of such a principle today in the market.
They both go up.
They both go up. But it could be that in the guy, I don't think really gold and silver today have any relationship. It doesn't seem like they do. But who am I to say? But it could very well be that in ancient times, it was not like that. It could be that in ancient times, there was a direct correlation between gold and silver. In fact, we assume today that gold and gold is. Gold today is trading, I don't know, what over $1,000, even more. What is gold today? I have no idea what is gold today.
About
$2,000. I remember years ago when they were saying, buy gold, it's going to go up to $1,000. And now you're telling me gold is $2,000. It's incredible. Okay, and silver is probably not what's whatever it is.
About 20.
I think what he says here, when you say one thing, it's a complete. When you add kol hamosif goreya,
yeah,
that looks like en beze ma sheyesh beze. It's a limit.
He's saying a different idea.
It's something. Something is missing.
Okay, you're saying a different idea.
It's like Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not, even if there are two things, but it's a complete. Each one is a complete. Kol ha-kesef, kol ha-zahav, kol ha-yam, kol ha-yabasha.
Maybe.
Okay, while you have another one.
When there are parts.
Limits it.
Okay, you're saying
Rabbi Levine, I think you once mentioned that in those times, kesef had a greater intrinsic value
than gold.
That's
what I'm saying. Right.
That's why maybe the pasuk says first Leah kesef and then Leah Zahav.
There's a very big discussion about this.
Rabbi,
what? Yeah.
I'm trying to say that it's a function of supply and demand.
Can't hear.
It's a function of supply and demand, but that the laws of supply and demand don't apply to Hashem.
Okay, exactly. Listen, this is the nature of the Maral. The Maral says very abstract things which allow many layers of interpretation. Over here, Rav Kalman is saying one idea, others are saying other ideas. I'm just suggesting, I'm throwing out an idea, I don't know if it's true or not. But what we want to discuss is a topic of discussion, what is more valuable? Today, obviously, gold is a lot more valuable than silver. But in world history, that was not always the case. It appears that there were times when silver was more valuable than gold.
At the
time of the building of the Mishkan, what was more valuable, gold or silver? Well, you would assume that the sockets were gold, right? The Adonim were gold. The Adonim were silver. The Adonim were silver. I'm forgetting everything already. Okay, whatever it is. You have to do a very careful study to understand what has more value, silver or gold. Are the two related? In ancient, I have talked to people who study history, I know economics, to understand if there is such a thing in ancient times of a correlation, of a bigger pair between gold and silver. Yam and the Yabasha, there is a relationship between them. If you're living on the Yam, you're not on the Yabasha. The Yabasha is not the Yam. They're very different. Each one's advantages are only advantages relative to the competition. To the Yam. There are some people that love to go out to sea the whole day. That's all they do. They live on the sea. Because the sea offers them certain advantages that you cannot get when you're living on the Yam and on the dry land. But for most people, just the opposite. Living on the dry land has the advantages that outweigh the advantage of the Yam. There are things in this world which have relationships.
Maybe you could say that in one way the Yabosh is even stronger than the Yam, because there's a pasuk that says Ha'omer la'yom at koi savoy. That's it. The Yabosh says stop. That's it. You're not going any further. Yeah.
The Yam. Okay. So these are. Now, if this is true, so perhaps we can suggest one layer of interpretation in the Maral is that in order for something, everything belongs to Hashem. That's a given. That's a davar pashut. When it means here kinyonoi, it means there are no checks and balances. There are no pairs. There's nothing which is broken down into parts.
There's no competing forces.
Competing forces.
These kinyonim are
complete.
There's only one unique. There's only one unique thing among these. If you look at it, Maimoritz is only one of Abraham.
Is one.
Abraham, Yisrael.
Echad, Yisrael.
Koya Koyberitz, right? Beis HaMikdash, there's only one. And so on.
therefore, there's no competing forces.
To balance out, there are no parts. There's no parts that each part balances the other part through like a checks and balances, would keep it stable.
So therefore, they are wholly owned.
That's why they're called kinyanim. Okay, so when there are only five things in this world that are considered to be complete.
So unique.
Unique in itself without parts that balance one another. One of them is the Torah. There's no counterbalance to the Torah. Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, the Shemayim Va'aretz, whatever that means. You think Shemayim Va'aretz means that we're saying it's one unit. You think that's a counterbalance. Obviously, it's saying that. Everything else in this world, there's always competition. There's always a pair. There's always a balance. There's always another element which helps keep the scales balanced.
It's amazing to see that all the Beit Kedusha, Candelabra, Hanukkiah, Vim, so everything is still there. No gold. Nobody has a gold things because
we can't afford it. It's too expensive.
On the table for Shabbat. However, when you marry a woman, you give her a gold ring. You don't dare to give her a silver ring. And the tachshitim, the same thing. So the kesef has one function, and the zahar.
Okay, right. That's a general idea.
Like Kosh Baruch Hu, it's a different thing. Liya kesef, liya zahar. It is no, everything is by me a complete. It's not this and not that.
Okay, it's true. Absolutely. So this is just an idea that we're suggesting in the morale to, and what do we take out of this? What is the benefit that we take out of this? And according to this understanding, is like we're saying to them, we're going through all these Maror Chazal, and each one brings out a new idea in the Pasuk, Li HaKesef Li HaZav. Delivery, Tefillah, what was the last thing that we said? Li HaKesef, Hashem has a lot more than you think. After you count all of Hashem's money, Whatever value the Pentagon puts on all of the assets of the world put together, guess what? You're wrong. Hashem has even more money than you can imagine. We have now a new insight in this pasuk. If this idea is correct, the morale is saying that kesev and zav are two things. And therefore does not qualify as a kinyan of Hashem. And according to what we're trying to suggest in the words of the morale, it's because the pasuk teaches us Kesef and Zahav have a relationship. They're not two independent things. We today in the modern world, we don't look at it like that. And not that I know, maybe there is. If we're bringing a top economist, he may tell us it's not true that there is a relationship in the world today between gold and silver. See, today, gold money is no longer based on gold and silver. When it used to be, years ago, Fort Knox, when the dollar bill was backed by gold, then it could very well be that gold and silver had some type of relationship.
Yes, but gold and silver value, prices are subject to other
exactly.
variables.
Exactly, other
economy.
Variables.
They rise and fall.
There are other variables.
Gold rises
right.
and so on and
There's
so forth.
No question, there are other variables. But let's say, for example, they would discover today that gold is dangerous. There's some radioactive element in gold that's the cause of all of our problems. So gold would all of a sudden disappear will become usher. And then what would happen? Silver would rise. That's not a raya either, because just by default, there's nothing else. I don't know. I really don't know. But the morale is saying something, and there's a lot that we do not know about gold and silver, because it is a fact that in ancient times, it was not always a given that gold is more valuable than silver. There were times when silver was more valuable than gold. It could very well be that in an ancient civilization, there was a relationship between gold and silver, and therefore when Chazal came to define the five kinyanim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each kinyan has to be complete without it being subject
to being balanced by an by opposition, by some other item which is accountable to, and only five things fit that description. Amongst them is Torah, Yisrael, Beis Hamikdash.
They have an absolute value.
But gold and silver, we have a new insight in this pasuk that possibly there's a relationship. Now, by the way, in the world of Machshava, there certainly is a relationship. Because if you can open up all of the Svarim and Chassidus, one thing will become absolutely clear as day immediately. Gold represents din. Midas ha-din. Silver represents Midas ha-rachamim. And it's true, there is a correlation between Midas ha-din and Midas ha-rachamim. When there's din, then there's no rachamim. And when there's rachamim, there's no din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah, he gets up from the Kisei ha-din, and it's Yoyeshev on the Kisei rachamim. So you do see that in the world of Hasidus, of what these things represent, Kesef represents Kisufim, yearning, rachamim, emotion. Gold represents a certain harshness. It's red. There are many colors of gold. You don't find by silver, you have a lot of silver. You don't have one silver. When it comes to gold, you have many different layers, different types of gold, seven types of gold, different colors of gold.
Red is the primary.
Din represents din. It's one way I always find to be, we'll leave with this, we have to do, one I always find to be very fascinating about gold is, it says in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, it says, Nekudei Kesef, dots of silver, what's the pasuk? The pasuk says gold, pieces of gold with nikudos kesef. I don't remember the pasuk. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim says that Hashem will adorn us with like decorations of gold with dots of silver in nikudos hakesef. So there's a very popular, beautiful, beautiful vart on this. Beautiful, it's very apropos for the Yimei HaDin. Zahav means din. Kesef is silver. Not only is the Midas HaDin hidden in the object, but even in the Nekudos. What are the Nekudos of the word Zahav? A komatz, a double komatz. Zahav. What are the Nekudos of Kesef? A segel. Okay, three dots. Underneath the chaf and the samach is kesef. What is a segel in the world of Jewish? Segula. Vihiyisem li segula special. Nikol ha'amim. What does a komatz mean? It means to close your fist tight. Stinginess. To be stingy. Don't close your fist tight. Okay, by Hasidim, you know why they say Mashiv Haruach Amorit HaGeshem, and they don't say Goshem? Because they hold that Geshem is a brocha. Obviously. Why would you want to say Goshem with a komatz, with a nekuda of stinginess? Better say Geshem, because a segol means V'hiyisem li segula. It means special. Why would you want to say Goshem? Goshem has a connotation, rain, but not a lot of rain. Just a small amount, stinginess. How much rain do you need? How much money do you need to get by? You need to get through the day, $10? I'll give you $10. Goshem, with the komatz. Why would you want to do that? Geshem, with a segol. V'yisem li segula. Have a specialness. How much do you need to get through the day? $10? Here, take $100. Go buy yourself some candy with the change. Segel. So the Hasidim, they love to grill you. Well, you said Goshem, you litvax. Mashiv haruach amorit ha-goshem. Oh, diktok. Because it's the end of an expression, so you say Goshem. Oh, the litvax. Yeah, they're makbid on the diktok, and they say goshem. Yeah, they're very stingy. Be a chosid! Who cares about diktok? Who cares about mila el mila ra? Ashva, ashva, no, ashva, no. Don't you want to have geshem? A lot of money?
Well,
yeah?
The idea is, din has greater value because the world was supposed to be created
with midas hadin.
With midas hadin, but it had to be tempered
with rachamim.
Rachamim.
So the pasuk says, now I remember, Toire Zohov Naselach. Now I remember the pasuk, it came back to me. Toire Zohov Naselach im Nikudo Isakesef. Hashem will give us ornaments of Zohov, but the way Le'osilove we're going to pronounce Zohov is not Zohov. It's Zehev. Zehev. Not Zohov. La'asilova, we're going to pronounce it Zev. Why? It's the synthesis of Din V'Rachamim. B'yom B'roy Hashem Elohim. Rachamim, Din is tempered with Rachamim. So the Zohav, which is pure Din, gold is Din, and the Nekudos are komatz, stinginess, because that's what Din is. You get exactly what you deserve. It's going to be tempered with nikudois of kesef, of a segol, of rachanim. By the way, it's also, you know, it's very fascinating. When you change it from zohov to zehev, you also automatically change the mila el mila ra. Because when you have a double komatz, it's zohov, the emphasis is on the end of the word. When you change it to a double segol, Zehev, a double segel, always the emphasis is mila el on the second to last syllable. It's like melech. Melech. You don't say melech. Whenever you have a double segel, this is an ironclad rule, no exceptions. Melech. Don't ask me from MS, because MS is not a segel. It's a chataf segel. It's not a real segel. I told you the word. If you say MS is sheker, but sheker is MS, right? We're not going to go through that again. But it's interesting that when you change zohov to zehev, you're going from emphasizing the hay to emphasizing the zayin. Okay, it's another interesting difference between what's going to be. Toire Zohav Naselach Im. I'm going to make for you beautiful ornaments of gold. But Im Nekudoi Sakesef. But we're going to exchange the dots with the dots of Kesef. Zohav is Din. Kesef is Rachanim. So we get, now, according to that, the Maral fits the idea that we have attempted to fashtup into the Maral. Because the Maral allows himself for this. Because the Maral always speaks in terms of abstractions. And people, when you abstract, you're opening yourself up for trouble. When you want to be abstract, everyone's going to read into it. Whenever the Constitution was written by the founder, Lahavdil, Elif, Alfa, Abdullah.
Or ignore you as they did for centuries.
Okay, so the Constitution, anything that's abstract in the Constitution, that's why you have today all the fighting going on. The Constitution can be interpreted however you want to read it, or whatever you want to go do. So if you have abstractions, the morale over here says it's very, very abstract concept. What it means that gold and silver is not called a kinyan is because there's a counterbalance. And the counterbalance, when you want to say gold and silver, when we refer to what it alludes to in the Olam HaMachshava of Din Rachamim, it certainly is counterbalanced. Is there a matching reality to a counterbalance of gold and silver? Maybe in ancient times there was. There probably was. We have to study, bring up from, you know, go bring up all the PhD people to tell you in the history and economics. Who knows? Maybe even today, if we bring in an expert from the Pentagon into our share, maybe he can tell us that there is even today a counterbalance. Obviously, there are other factors, other variables, other forces that definitely influence gold and silver. But maybe, I don't know how these things work. Maybe even today there's also some type of correlation and a counterbalance between gold and silver in the modern economy. Who knows how all of these things work? But this is the idea of the Maharal explaining, and the advantage we take out of this is to appreciate, when you read the pasuk, Li ha-kesef, li ha-zohav, is, wait a minute. There are two things here in this pasuk. One is counterbalancing the other. That's in addition to the other three lessons that we learned. Tefillah, delivery, and Hashem is a lot more money than you can imagine. All right, we're going to stop here. We're going to do the other Maharal Amir Hashem tomorrow. It's late. We're going to stop here. Let's take a short break, and we will continue shortly.
That was a nice workout.